We'll begin to read at Galatians 2 and verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me, God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas a right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We thank God for the reading of his word. Galatians chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. And these verses come in the middle of Paul's response to Peter. We must remember that. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. We start with a question for you. How much paper do you waste every day? Every week? When the council come round for recycling, how big is your paper waste bin? Ours is very big. For us, paper is very cheap. And we tend to be very wasteful when something is cheap. But what if paper were, say, £10 per sheet? Wouldn't we be more careful then? What if paper were £10 per sheet, and you had to write a letter. You would choose your words very, very carefully, wouldn't you? You would probably write in your smallest, neatest handwriting. You would make sure that every millimetre of that paper was used up. So would you repeat yourself? No, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't repeat yourself. If you wrote something down, you wouldn't then write it again in a slightly different way. You would assume that if you wrote it once, then your readers would get it. But if you wanted to emphasize something, you might have to repeat yourself, however expensive the paper might have been. Now, Paul, remember, is writing a letter. He's writing a letter to Christians in churches in an area called Galatia, which we would generally know as Turkey. There are a number of churches that he's writing to. He expects this letter to be read in one church and then passed on to another, and in likelihood to be copied and passed on. He probably wrote on parchment, on animal skins treated and made ready to write on. If he didn't write on parchment, which was very, very expensive, he probably wrote on papyrus. Again, that would have been expensive, and the production of paper from papyrus reeds was quite an intricate process and a lengthy one. Whatever he wrote on was costing a lot of money. And so he never repeats himself unless he absolutely has to. Otherwise, it would be a waste of ink and a waste of paper. Now, I say that because if you look at our text, verse 16, you will find that Paul says the same thing three times. In one verse, he says exactly the same thing, but he says it three times in slightly different ways. And so, first of all, he makes a very general statement. Verse 16. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. There's something very general. A man. By that he means a man or a woman, any human being. A human being, a person. General. Generally, he's saying. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you might think, well, that's enough. We've got it. Remember, he's speaking to Peter. But he's not finished yet. He then says the same thing in the second place, personally. So he said something very general, and now he's going to say something very personal. He uses we. You see the next phrase. We have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. You see, he's saying the same thing, but he's saying it personally now. He's saying, that's true of us. Peter, that's true of you, and it's true of me as well. We have believed in Christ Jesus, Peter, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. But he's not finished yet, because he's going to say the same thing again. And this time, he's going to make it not general or personal. He's going to make it universal. He's going to say something that applies throughout the whole of time to every human being in the whole of history, throughout the whole of the world. He says, by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So, how does it work generally? Well, generally, people don't get justified by the works of the law. They get justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And then, how does it work for Paul and Peter? Well, he says, for you and me, Peter, we have believed in Christ Jesus, and so we expect to be justified by that, and not by the works of the law. And that's how it works for everybody, Jews and Gentiles, everyone in the whole world. No one gets justified by the works of the law. Now, he says it three times because it is so important. And I want to say this. It is so important that if we don't understand these two verses, the rest of the letter will not make any sense to us at all. We won't be able to understand what Paul is saying and why he's saying it. None of it will have any real meaning for us. These are the two most important verses in the whole of this letter. More than that, these two verses are absolutely crucial for you and me to be right with God and for us to live our lives confidently, usefully, and in a godly way. So let's try and understand these verses this morning. Paul uses three phrases three times. Justified, you see it there? Verse 16, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. So there's the first word. We've got to understand what the word justified means. And then the second phrase he uses is the works of the law. Again, he says this three times. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So we need to understand what he means by the works of the law. And then he uses this little word faith. Again, he uses it three times. One is slightly different. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, even we have believed. It's the same word, different form of it. Believed, faith, and belief are the same things. That we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Justified, works of the law, faith. What does he mean? Let's take them one at a time and let's seek the help of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to understand them. The first thing is this. The gospel is about being justified by God. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the good news is all about. That's what the message of Jesus is all about. It's what the church is here for, to declare this great message that we are justified by God. Now, in normal conversation, we only use this word justified in one way, really. You're trying to justify yourself now. There's no justification for what you did. How do you justify doing that? That's how we use the word justify. And someone is trying to put themselves in the right. Somebody else thinks they're in the wrong. And they're trying to put themselves in the right. And they're coming up with all sorts of explanations and reasons why they are actually right and not wrong. And we call that justifying yourself. And sometimes we think that an action is totally unjustifiable. And so clearly in our usual use of that word, it's something to do with right and wrong. It's something to do with someone who is being told or maybe telling themselves that what they did was the right thing, that they are in the right, even if everybody else thinks that they're in the wrong. So justification is about being declared right, even if someone thinks you're wrong. And so we try to justify ourselves and we find justification for our actions. Now, two illustrations. I hope that one of them at least will help you to understand this most important Bible truth. First of all, you're on your computer and you're using Word, for instance, because you want to write a letter or you want to do a document and so on. And there are four buttons that you can use on the taskbar at the top. And the one on the left has got all the lines lining up to the left. And then you've got one in the next one along, and that one has got everything in the middle. And then you've got the next one, and it's got all the lines lining up on the right. And then you've got another button that you might not even know is there. And that last button has got all the lines
like a lovely, neat square. They're nice and straight down the right-hand side, and they're nice and straight down the left-hand side. And if you type something, and you're typing lots of things, and you've got things there, and then you can highlight the whole things, and you press that button, and a really magical thing happens. When you press that button, all the way down this side is a nice straight line. And all the way down that side is a nice straight line. Because it adjusts all the words and makes them slightly wider so that it all looks really neat. What are those buttons called? Well, the one on the left is called Align Left. And everything gets aligned to the left. And the next one says Center. And you might use that a lot because you want something right in the middle of the page. So it says Center. And you press that and everything comes to the middle. And then the next one is Align Right. So everything comes to the right and you get a nice straight line down the right. But the last one, if you click on that, you'll find that it is called Justify. It's called Justify. And the explanation from the wonderful people who created Word is this. If you press that button, they said, it will align the text to both the left and the right margins, adding extra space between words as necessary. This creates a clean look along the left and right sides of the page. And that's what it means to justify. It means to straighten everything out. You can straighten them out along the left if you want to, but you still have a ragged bit down the right. You can straighten them out down the right if you want to, but then you'll have a ragged bit down the left. But if you justify, then it's completely straight. Both sides of your writing are going to look so neat. You'll hand it in and your tutors will say, this looks beautiful. It might be a lot of rubbish that you've written, but it looks really beautiful because you've justified it. It's straight. It's clean. It's lined up to make something straight. And so to justify, as far as God is concerned, is that God straightens your life in every way so that to him it looks perfect. It is clean. And it's perfectly aligned with his commandments. Perfectly. He looks at your life. He looks at his commandments. He says, you're straight. You're clean. You're right with me. It's one illustration. But the problem, of course, is this. We know that our lives are completely ragged. They're not straight at all. We don't keep God's commandments. How can God straighten out what is crooked? Second illustration, you're in court now. I hope you're not. But you're in court. A judge is looking at you. You're standing in the dock. You are accused. The accused. And you're standing in the dock. And the court and the judge have heard all the evidence against you. And the judge gets you to stand up. You're in the dock. You're accused. People have told you you're guilty. You actually know you are guilty. The judge gets you to stand up and he said, you are declared not guilty. You can go. You're free. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to treat you as being totally innocent. The judge is justifying you. God does that. He declares a sinner to be not guilty. To be fully righteous before him. To be innocent of breaking the law of God. God is the judge and he says, you are innocent. You are right. I will treat you from this moment on as if you are totally innocent. Now here's a problem. We know that we are guilty of breaking the commands of God. Our conscience tells us that. The commandments of God show us that. And the example of Jesus Christ puts us all into the shade of our sins. But the gospel tells us that God justifies sinners. The gospel is all about God justifying sinners like you and like me. So there's justification. But the second thing that Paul is saying is this. We cannot be justified by religious living. And this is such an important point that he has to make to the Galatians. We cannot be justified
by religious living. We need to understand what he means by the works of the law. Now, Paul speaks of himself and Peter as being Jews by nature. You see it there in verse 15? We who are Jews by nature. In other words, we were born as Jews, he says to Peter. You know, you were born as a Jew. Your parents were Jewish. My parents were Jewish. We were born and we're Jews. By birth, we're Jews. We're not like Gentile sinners. He's not being rude to the Gentiles. He's making the point that Jews had a tremendous privilege of being born a Jew. They had enormous blessings from God. They had all of the works of the law, unlike the Gentiles who did not have that and therefore had no choice but to live in sinful ignorance of God and of his ways. The Jews had all the works of the law. But what were these works of the law that the Jews had? Well, essentially it's the whole of this Old Testament. But let's boil it down to three fundamental things. Number one, they had circumcision. They had the sign of circumcision. That was the mark that you were a Jew, because if you were a Jewish boy, you were circumcised. Secondly, they had the sacrifices. They had the altar in Jerusalem. They had the temple in Jerusalem. They had the Levites and the priests in Jerusalem. And daily, animals were being slaughtered and offered on the sacrifice as a sacrifice on the altars to gods. There were burnt offerings, there were fellowship offerings, there were guilt offerings, sin offerings. There were many types of different offerings, but all of these offerings were things that God said they had to keep. And it was a way in which they would understand something of the works of God and the law of God. So they had circumcision. That was one of the works of the law. They had the sacrifices. That was another work of the law. And then they had rules. Rules for food and rules for days. Things that they were allowed to eat, things that they weren't allowed to. You all know that Jews are not allowed to eat pork. That's not the only thing they're not allowed to eat. They weren't allowed to eat lizards and things like that, or eagles. There were lots of things they weren't allowed to eat. There were certain foods that were not clean for them. They weren't allowed. And then there were certain days that they had to keep special, the Sabbath day, obviously. But then there were special Sabbath days through the whole year. And then there were feasts that they had to keep, and festivals, and fasts. And there were lots of things that they had to keep. There were rules. So these are the works of the law: circumcision, sacrifices, and the rules about food and days. And God said in Leviticus 18, well, we need to look at it. He said that if you keep them, you'll live. If you keep them perfectly, completely, you will live. So Leviticus chapter 18 and verses 1 to 5. Let's listen to what God actually said to them in the Old Testament days. Leviticus 18 verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. So there is God saying, I've given you these works of the law. If you keep them, you'll live. If you do these things perfectly, all these sacrifices, these rules and laws, and the circumcision rite, if you keep them all perfectly all of your life, you'll live. You will live eternally with me. You will have life with me. You will know me, and you will be right with me. Problem was this. In practice, it was impossible for anyone to be justified by God by living according to the works of the law. Let's take circumcision. The Jews thought that simply by circumcising their sons, that they had obeyed God's command perfectly, therefore they must be right with God. And they became very smug about it. Oh, we've got circumcision. We're not like these uncircumcised Gentiles.
We've done everything that God commanded. God commanded Abraham to do this to his household and to Isaac, and we've done it ever since, and circumcision is the way, therefore we're right with God. But you see, they got it completely wrong. Circumcision was there to remind them that they were unclean morally and that they needed to cut off sin from their lives just as their flesh was cut off. It was a sign to them of the fact that they were sinners needing to cut off sin. It wasn't something that they could do and then boast about as if, oh, we must be all right with God now. It was also there to remind them that one day God had promised to send a son born of a woman who would justify them because he would not be sinful like everyone else. And then what about the sacrifices? Again, they thought that the works of the law, the sacrifices, could save them. The Jews thought that because they offered the sacrifices on altars in the temple, that they were really doing something good and pleasing to God. And because of that, God must accept them. But they were wrong. Because the sacrifices were there to show them that they were sinners. They needed to place their filthy, sinful hands on an animal so that that animal could take the punishment that they deserved. That animal could be slaughtered instead of them and laid on that sacrificial altar instead of them, because they were the sinners. And those animals were taking the punishment that they deserved. And every time they saw a sacrifice, they should have thought, we're sinners. We're separated from God. We need a sacrifice that can really work. And those sacrifices were there to point to Jesus, the one true final sacrifice for sin. But instead of that, it became a matter of boasting. Oh, we've got the sacrifices. I'll just do a sacrifice. I'll be fine then. God will be pleased with me. Oh, I've done my sacrifices. Doesn't matter how I live my life now. I've done my sacrifices. And so they twisted the works of the law and believed that they could make them right with God. And Paul is saying, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And then they had those rules, didn't they, for food and days. The Jews thought that if they didn't eat the meats that God had forgiven, like pork, and if they kept certain holy days, like the Sabbath and special feast days, that God would see how good they were. And God would say, oh, you're right. You're okay. You're Jews. You're my people. But these rules were there to show them how holy God is and that they are not holy and that there are things in their lives that they need to abstain from because they are not living the lives that please God, that they're sinners and they're unclean before him. In other words, the law of God and the works of the law were all like a mirror to show them what they were like. Circumcision, sacrifices, holy days, and holy foods, all to show them what they were like, that they were sinners and they were wrong. And those things could never justify them. They were never intended to. They were only ever intended to point the way to Jesus as the one great sacrifice. Any Jew who saw through what the rest of the Jews were assuming, any Jew who really understood that their deep need was to be made right with God, any Jew who came to God by faith, that Jew was saved, that Jew was justified, but not by observing the works of the law. So what does it mean for you and me? We're not in any danger here, surely, are we? Circumcision, sacrifices, clean and unclean foods, they don't mean anything to us. No. We can't be justified by the works of the law. In the New Testament, God has only given two. And they can equally be stumbling blocks for you and me. Baptism and the communion service. When we're baptized, we mustn't think, God now sees what a good person I am. I've been baptized. I've done what I was told to do. Jesus says, be baptized. I've been baptized. Or we might say, I've baptized my children. I'm okay. We're all right. We've been baptized. We've been through the waters of baptism. We're okay now. We're right with God. But you see, we've got it all wrong. Just like those Jews in the Old Testament, we're looking at it in the wrong direction. Baptism is a cleansing. It reminds us that we are filthy in God's sight. and that we need to be forgiven and cleansed. Just being baptized will never justify you before God. It's an outward thing. It's saying, I'm being cleansed outwardly. This water is washing over my filthy skin to wash away the dirt. In the same way, I am filthy inside. My sins, my wrongdoing, all make me separated from God. I desperately need a Savior. Baptism is there to point to the need of a Savior. It's there to declare that just as we're cleansed on the outside through the washing of water in baptism, so only Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, can wash away our sins. So we must never view baptism as the way to be right with God. It can never justify us. And neither can the communion service. We must not think that we come regularly to the communion service and we take the bread and we take the wine. Therefore, God will accept us because we're doing what he told us to do. We're taking the bread, we're taking the wine. No. When we come to the communion service and we see the bread on the table and we see the wine there, we are to think this: I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I needed him to die for me. That bread is representing the perfect life and body of Jesus Christ. He had to go to the cross and give that body for me because I'm not right with God. I'm a sinner. I'm filthy and separated from God. I'm under God's judgment, but I needed Jesus. And the wine is the blood of Jesus, representing the blood that flowed on Calvary. I needed that blood to cleanse me from my sins. We come together as ruined sinners in need of a Savior. And that communion service is there to reflect back to us our sinfulness and our need of faith in Jesus. Baptism won't ever save you. Don't ever think that you're right with God because you've been baptized or because you baptized your children that they are right with God. Do not ever think that the communion service will make you right with God. You take the bread, you take the wine, you're therefore right with God. I tell you this, there are people in heaven who have never been baptized. There are people in heaven who have never taken the communion service. I know that for absolute certainty because I can tell you one of them, the thief on the cross. And he didn't get baptized and he didn't have communion. But Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Baptism and communion were never designed to justify us before God. Which brings us to the final thing, doesn't it? We can only be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. If the way of the works of the law is closed to us, is there any way that we may be justified by God? And the answer to that is a glorious yes. Praise God, there is. And that's what Paul is saying here. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We can be justified because of what Jesus has done for us. His perfect life. His perfect law keeping. His perfect obedience to God in every part. He kept the works of the law. He did it. He was the only one who lived a perfect, perfect life in perfect obedience in every part. And his death on the cross was in your place and my place. We can be justified because of what Jesus has done for us. And we can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means, first of all, that you need to recognize your own sinfulness and your own disobedience. You have to recognize that. You have to come to the full realization, however painful it is, that you are just not right with God and nothing you can do will ever make you right with God. You have to come to that point. You're a sinner. You've broken God's commandments. You don't live as God says you should. You have to come to that point. You acknowledge that you're a sinner and you are disobedient to God and that God is perfectly just to punish you for your sins. You need to stop trying to get right with God by doing things. And then you must repent. You must repent, turn away from all your years of living for yourself. All your years of trying to be good, trying to do this and that, thinking that somehow you're earning God's favors. You have to turn away from all of that. You have to turn away from your sin. And then you have to put your whole trust and your whole confidence in Jesus. And what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you just say in your brain, in your mind, yes, I believe what they teach in this church. I believe what the Bible says. I believe in my mind that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. It's something that I agree. I agree that Jesus died on the cross. I agree that he died for me. That's not enough. It's not enough because that's not faith. That is simply intellectual assent. And actually, it doesn't take much to agree to something that is true. Even the demons believe in God and they tremble. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just you and me thinking in our minds, yes, Jesus died on the cross. He died for me. I believe that. It's more than intellectual assent. What is it? It is a personal, wholehearted commitment to Jesus. It is you running to Jesus Christ and finding refuge in him alone from the righteous wrath of God. You have to believe into Christ Jesus. That's literally what Paul is saying here in verse 16. We have believed into Christ Jesus. You've gone right there. You've gone all the way. You're not just stopped by saying, yeah, I believe these things, fine. If it doesn't make any difference to your life, you haven't really believed it. It's got to be a wholehearted, personal commitment of your whole being to Jesus. And you've got to run to him and plead and seek his forgiveness. He will give it, but you've got to go. When anyone, see the end of verse 16? By the works of the flesh, works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But by contrast, anyone who goes to Jesus like that, anyone who truly commits himself wholeheartedly to Jesus will be justified. Will be justified. Whatever your background, whatever your age, however long you've been away from Jesus, it doesn't make any difference to him. You'll be justified by God the moment that you believe and trust in Jesus. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. Condemnation means you're declared guilty. That's what we deserve. But by grace, we receive what we don't deserve. We receive justification. We are declared innocent and right with God. Let me close with a quote from Luther. Luther said, "This is the truth of the gospel. It is also the principal article of all Christian doctrine, wherein the knowledge of all godliness consists. Most necessary it is, therefore, that we should know this article well, teach it to others, and beat it into their heads continually," which is what I try to do. Because we've got to know this. There's no other way. Do you know anything about this in your life? Are you still trying to please God by being religious? Do you just have an intellectual belief in Jesus, but you've never really run to him personally? You've never pleaded for his protection and his refuge? Do you have a personal commitment to him for everything in your life and for the life to come? If not, then begin now. Begin today. Seek him. And don't give up until you are certain that in Christ Jesus you have been justified. Because there's only that one way. But there is that one way. So go that way. Well, may God bless his word to our hearts.